Support for Upfront Inside Atlanta's entertainment industry comes from the Bronze Lens Film Festival, online at bronzelens.com.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to TV and film star Marlon Wayans about his new comedy, Marlon. The series debuts this Wednesday, August 16th on NBC and features Essence Atkins, Brisha Webb, and Diallo Riddle. Upfront also hit the red carpet this week for the Atlanta premiere of TV One's original movie, When Love Kills. I got a chance to chat with the film's stars, Lil Mama, Lance Gross, and Tammy Roman, as well as the director, Tasha Smith. And closing out today's show is Asante Bradford, project manager for digital entertainment and emerging media for the Georgia Department of Economic Development. He'll discuss his role in recruiting young talent, as well as the state's new tax incentives for musicians, post-production, and much more. We'll also be playing music from Tony-winning Broadway stars Billy Porter and Cynthia Erivo, along with throwback sounds from US3 and the iconic Nina Simone. But first, here's this week's casting buzz and entertainment news with Reva Blue.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Central Casting is looking for men and women of all ethnicities to portray joggers for a scene in the upcoming film Mary Lou. The actors must be in good physical shape and able to jog for multiple takes. You must also be available for a fitting in Fayetteville on Friday, August 18th, and filming in Atlanta on Tuesday, August 22nd. If you would like to be considered, please submit a photo of yourself in athletic wear to Mary Lou at Central Casting. With jogger in the subject line of the email. Mary Lou is also looking for a small group of people who are comfortable riding bicycles. You do not need to bring your own, as one will be provided for you. However, you must have a helmet. You can also bring your own cycling gear. If this is you, please submit a photo of yourself in your cycling attire to Mary Lou at centralcasting.com with bicycle8/22 in the subject line of the email. In other related entertainment news, congratulations to Emmy winner RuPaul. The former Atlantan is teaming up with streaming giant Hulu for a dramedy series about his life titled Queen. The project will present a fictionalized version of RuPaul's rise to stardom, beginning in 1980s New York up to present day as a world-renowned drag superstar and global music icon for the LGBT community. And lastly, the live telecast of the 49th NAACP Image Awards will take place on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, Monday, January 15th, 2018. The two-hour TV One special will include a live pre-show with a star-studded red carpet along with the highly anticipated awards ceremony. In addition, submissions are now open for awards in the categories for motion picture, television, recording, and literature, and will close on Friday, October 6th. Check out WCLK.com for the details and other important dates regarding the show. That's this week's Casting Buzz and Entertainment News. I'm Reva Blue.
What's going on, y'all? It's your boy Leon Thomas from the film Detroit, and right now you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
What's up, people?
I'm Marlon.
I woke up this morning and I thought to myself, why am I the only one up this early? So I decided to drive over my ex-wife Ashley's house to invite her and the kids to join me.
When did y'all switch to natural toothpaste? This tastes like bad breath.
Marlon, what are you doing here? Dad's left over. This divorce is new for all of us, and I don't want to send the kids the wrong message.
I slept in my clothes on top of Batman sheets. Now, if I slept in no clothes on top of you, that may be sending the wrong message.
You just heard a preview of Marlon Wayans' new NBC comedy, Marlon. It features him as a single father trying to co-parent his two kids with his ex-wife, Ashley, played by Essence Atkins. The show also stars Diallo Riddle as his unemployed best friend, Stevie, and Brescia Webb as Ashley's no-nonsense BFF, Yvette. Upfront caught up with the comedy star this week during roundtable press interviews where he talked about using his own real-life experiences in the show.
I just look at my life and I try to speak truth and go, oh, this is funny. Like, a lot of it is literally pulled from my life. I have an episode about the hospital party, and basically my son, last year he got sick. He was in the hospital with osteomyelitis. And he was in a bone infection, and he had two surgeries. And so as a father, I'm sitting there with my son, and, you know, we got this staph infection. You know, them things could grow to be deadly. And I'm just sitting, I spent a month and a half in a hospital room with my son. And we had dirty drawers camp. And my son was like, you know, this sucks, man. I wanted to play basketball. I was supposed to go to Greece. I missed out on that house. I'll never get that money back. A lot of money down the drain. But I was like, you're worth it. And he goes, I said, you know what? And I told him, he was all sad about not being out, being able to play. I said, man, this is a blessing. He said, what? I said, man, think about it. I said, you're 14 years old. You're about to be a man in 4 years. God stopped you and God stopped me. So we could sit in here like boys in college and share a dorm room and we hang out and chill for however long we're in here, let's enjoy every moment. I went out, bought him an Xbox, I bought him a TV, and I told him, I said, we're going to make this a party, and we did. And we made every day a smile. And so I took that, and while I'm in the hospital dealing with this, and she's like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm writing jokes. She's like, why are you writing jokes at a time like this? I said, because this is how I deal with my pain. And she's like, yeah, but everything's not a joke. I said, everything's not a joke to you. It is to me. And the fact that you acting like this, that's a joke. So I'm putting this in there. Yeah, man. So the episode, the hospital party, is based on that. So I try to put as much truth as possible into my show because it's what I know. When you do TV, you should do what you know. And I'm grateful to do what I know.
Marlon also talked about reuniting with Essence Atkins and their undeniable on-screen chemistry.
I love working with Essence. You know, I think she's the heart of the show. I think my show, the fact that she's very sensitive in real life and she's going through divorce. And so these things that we're going through is emotional for her. And so I spend a lot of time in the week and in the show making her smile, which helps me because it makes the audience smile. We have this sad thing we have to pay attention to, and then here's how he deals with it, and, you know, he puts a smile on everybody's face. And working with her is wonderful because nobody got my rhythm. She gets my rhythm. It's like working with me is like double dutch. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I wish I could tell you I'm gonna do this, that. I don't know. Cameras know. Yeah, you catch me in a wide. You make sure you got a close. Make sure you get reactions. And this one, that he's a floater. I don't know what he's gonna do, but when he gets that look in his eye, my producers, they'll come over with me, Chris, my producing partner on this, and Rick, they'll be like, so on this take, right, we need this because the network really wants you to get that. And I go, okay.
Yeah, okay.
And I walk away, and Chris is like, he's not going to do it. And I'll do it, but then I'll do all this other stuff because I'm inspired. But she works with me well. She knows how to stay in the scene, keep it grounded. She's not trying to be me. She's not trying to join in. She's just staying in the scene, never breaking, even though she wants to. But I love working with, the whole cast is great. But I told Essence when we did Haunted House, because that movie required a lot of improv, right? Because it was a movie I did for $1.5 million. You know, we had a script, but once again, I got to improvise and make it better on the fly. That woman just was staying in step with me the whole time. I'd have to do 40 takes. One, two takes, she's with me. I ain't worried about her breaking. But the thing is, I told her then, I said, if I ever do a TV show, you're going to be my... If I ever do a Cosby, you're going to be my Felicia Rashad.
Oh, wow.
And she, I kept that promise. And she came in for the audition. And I was just like, you know, all we did... Chris could tell when we was just going over the lines. It was like... Their chemistry is crazy.
The 30-minute series is a very physically demanding show and is reminiscent of old-school sitcoms. Here's what Marlon had to say about ad-libbing and improvising with his cast.
Well, we write a really solid script every week, man. I got to give credit to the writers in the writer's room. They put together solid stories for each character, and we nurture that material for 4 days. And then when we get it on set, and it gets down to the set, and it's in front of that audience. Once we get it in the can, once we got in the can, Marlon's improvising. And then everybody else, I encourage them, think about, I'm from In Living Color School. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Wayne's Brothers School. I mean, when we did it, we did it. That's part of the fun of doing sitcom in front of an audience. That's part of the fun of doing it. The monotony of doing something that you know works is not as exciting as doing something on the fly where you go, I think this is funny, and I'm going to throw it out there. And you're working your instinct. So I encourage, I started, everybody on the set, y'all got, after we get in the can, let's go. Because I want y'all to bring y'all character to it. Because Marlon does bits. I'll do a run. I'll turn a 2-minute scene into a 20-minute scene, and then I'll cut it down to a nice, funny 2-minute scene.
Marlon also talked about not feeling any pressure living up to the Wayans family legacy of producing groundbreaking comedy and entertainment.
I don't think of it as pressure. I just think I love the brand Wayans. I'm so happy that I'm a Wayans. I couldn't ask for a better family to grow up in to nurture me as a comedic talent. But, this last 5-6 years, I've been just working on Marlon. I gave so many contributions to Wayans that now I feel like I'm growing into Marlon. And it's going to be ups and downs, and it's going to be trials and tribulations. But, the victory is in every day I go to work and I try to, I learn something new and I get better. And so I'm looking at my work and I'm seeing a transition. And I'm going, I like what I'm doing now. I like the fact that I said I'm done with parody. I like that I'm doing stuff that has good characters and fun stories about parenting, about something that is meaningful, like a family staying together despite divorce. I'm happy I'm doing a movie that's a romantic comedy with me and Regina Hall, and I get the girl, and all the stuff that I go through is physical, but I get the girl. So I don't feel pressure of Wayans because I'm doing Marlon. And I hope I make Wayans proud. And that my contribution to that fist, that hand that we are Wayans, I hope I'm a strong pinky, that's all.
Thank you, Marlon, for the exclusive interview. His show debuts this Wednesday, August 16th at 9 and 9:30 p.m. on NBC. Watch the trailer and see photos from our interview at WCLK.com.
Support for WCLK programming comes from the 2017 Bronze Lens Film Festival presenting the Women Superstars Luncheon on August 25th at the Westin Peachtree Plaza. The event is a celebration of women of color in the film and TV industry and includes honorees Nima Barnett, director of Queen Sugar and Being a Mary Jane, actress Crystal Fox from The Haves and the Have-Nots, and filmmaker Nefertiti Nguvu, producer of In the Morning. Information is available at bronzelens.com.
Hey, Upfront listeners, you can now follow us on Instagram under Upfront the Show. We'll have exclusive photos, giveaways, and much more. That's Upfront the Show on Instagram.
I put a spell on you. Cause you're mine. Do, 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 do. You better stop the things you do. I ain't lying. No, I ain't lying.
Hi, Cassie Davis here. You're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius. Take it away, Ray!
They say right before you die, your entire life flashes before you.
Ma, why can't you just help me?
Fine, Felicia. Watch your baby so she don't end up like you. The things that
I imagine. Baby, you one of the baddest chicks in the game.
Somebody at the club say you be tricking girls.
I got a few girls.
A few girls.
I manage. Never really happened. This... Let the world know that you're my girl. I take care of you. You do what I tell you to do.
Right before you kill.
You mess this up, I'll mess it up.
That was a clip from TV One's new original movie, When Love Kills, The Felicia Blakely Story. It airs on Monday, August 28th at 9 p.m. and stars Lil Mama, Lance Gross, and Tammy Roman, and is directed by actress Tasha Smith. Originally titled Hit a Lick, When Love Kills is inspired by an episode of TV One's original series, For My Man, and tells the tragic story of Felicia Blakely, a teen mom who becomes an exotic dancer and attracts the attention of local pimp and predator, Big Dino. His empty promises of a life together turn Felicia into a pawn in his dangerous games, and she is forced to prove her love for him at the expense of innocent lives. Upfront caught up with the cast at this week's dazzling red carpet premiere, where they talked about their characters, working with Tasha Smith as a director, and much more. Here's what Lance Gross said on preparing for the role of Big Dino.
Man, I just had to completely disconnect from Lance Gross and become Dino. I prayed about it. I talked to my family, let them know I was going to tap out. This was like truly method acting, you know, where I was like living it. I spent a lot of time doing research, just on the phone with pimps I knew in Oakland, pimps I knew in Las Vegas, just soaking up their game and just trying to get into their heads a little.
Now, what was it like working with Tasha Smith as a director? This is her directorial debut, so what was it like working with, because you've worked with her as an actress, but not as a director, so what was it like?
I mean, that was amazing. I've been working with Tasha as an acting coach for years, so just being able to get direction from my acting coach, and, you know, it was a good situation. And Tasha's like a sister to me, so we know each other on a different level, so she knows how to pull certain performances out of the actors, so it was real cool.
Reality star and actress Tammy Roman plays Felicia's unstable mother, Stacy, and is an alumna of Tasha Smith's Actors Workshop. So how did you prepare for this role? Because this is kind of a dark role for you as well. So how did you prepare for this role, Miss Tammy?
I had to go completely opposite of what I am with my two daughters. Everybody knows I have two children. But I just had to pull from a place of not being connected with my children.
And what was it like working with Tasha Smith as a director? Because this is her directorial debut. So what was that like?
Tasha's amazing. She's absolutely amazing. A lot of people don't know Tasha was my acting coach many, many years ago when I first started in the business. So she understands actors, and, you know, it was very easy. You know, you just take direction, and I felt like, uh-oh, here's the sensei. Let me show and prove, you know, so, because she'll go off on you. So,
what do you think is the takeaway message for this film?
I think it's really important for people, well, as it pertains to my character, Stacy, I think that a lot of women go through relationships in search of something, not necessarily knowing what they want, but knowing what they don't want. And what ends up happening is they tumble through relationships in search of something that wasn't existent in past relationships. So I think Stacy finds herself at a place where she realizes and has to acknowledge with the Felicia character that when you say, I'm just doing the best that I can, or I did the best that I could, that may not necessarily have been your best. And now she has to own up to the fact that she should have been more involved with Felicia's life. You know, really in tune with the saving our daughters message, you know what I mean? And I think the movie, that's what we're trying to do, is there are a lot of Felicia Blakely's in the world, we just don't want them to have this ending.
Lil Mama, who now goes by her real name, Natia, opened up about doing her own stunts for the film and her newfound love for action roles. She also talked about working with Tasha Smith and the film's takeaway message.
I wanted to pole dance, but they didn't really go in that area with me. They were just like, okay, just move around a little bit. And, you know, they really wanted to tell the story of the character. So I did try to take a little pole lessons, and it really does take a lot of upper body strength. Let me just say that. And then also I did all my stunts in the movie. So when I'm like being abused and things like that, when I have to get hit and I have to react and stuff like that, I did the stunts for those as well. So it was a process. It's an exciting process because I want to do action. That's my thing. I just went and saw Atomic Blonde, and I still have to see Ghost in the Shell and movies like that, because that's really the route that I want to take. So going in to learn how to become an exotic dancer, learning how to do my own stunts are all things that I know I'm going to be facing in the future, in the near future.
Now, what was it like working with Tasha Smith as a director?
Working with Tasha Smith, it was my very first time. We met before years ago, and she wanted to help me, and we talked about it. And I'm just glad that God still made an opportunity for us to do it. And it was like I got to get hands-on experience. Like, while I'm working, I'm learning so much. And so her being an acting coach and a director and an actress, she was able to give me so much, teach me so much about the game.
Now, last question. What do you think is the takeaway message for this particular story?
Ooh, to be present. To be present, to have your children's back, to have your friends' back, to have your younger sisters, brothers, whoever, they have their back, be in their corner, ask questions, see what's going on. Because this young woman was 16 years old when she started dancing. By 19, she's serving a 3-count life sentence. Today, she's 33, 34. She's still in prison. That's a heavy, heavy thing for me to even, you know, accept it. Before doing the role, during the role, and now after promoting it, I'm still learning so much about what that means. I'm 28. I don't know what I would do if I spent the past 10 years in prison. I don't know what I would do, you know, how I would react to that. And I'm sure she's doing so much better now, and I hope that we could do something to possibly help her, reduce her time or something. Because when you're so young like that and you're a kid, It's crazy.
When Love Kills is Tasha Smith's directorial debut, the star of Empire was excited about the story and knew she wanted to bring it to a wider audience.
When I first read the script, I knew it was something I wanted to do. Actually, when I was first told about the story, I knew I wanted to do it, actually. Yeah, I mean, it's a powerful story. And, you know, I felt a lot of compassion and empathy for this young girl, so I was very happy and very grateful.
Now, you're working with one of your former students, Lance Gross. You actually taught him how to act, and now you're actually working with him. How was that experience?
First of all, working with Lance as a teacher, and I always feel like it's a collaboration, like we're working with one another, right? I just knew everything that Lance had in him. That's why I wanted him for this role, because I knew what he could do. You know what I mean? Like, I was a fan of Lance's 10 years ago in acting class. So to be able to actually work with him, I trust him, he trusts me. We have a communication and a language people just won't understand because we've been through the fire.
Now, what was it like doing this partnership with TV1?
Oh, man. First of all, TV1 is a wonderful network to work with. They were so supportive and so wonderful. My executives from TV1 was amazing. Swirl Productions was amazing. It was all a blessing. It was a great experience. I felt like God was just shining on me. Like, I couldn't be more blessed to have this experience with TV1, with Swirl, my DP, Bruce Francis Cole, my cast, the casting directors, even local casting director, George Pierre, Leah Daniels Butler. Everybody is amazing, and I'm just grateful.
Check out photos from the premiere of When Love Kills at WCLK.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we have something special down here at Birdland this evening, a recording for Blue Note Records.
Hey Upfront listeners, join me on Sunday, August 27th at 4:30 p.m. as I host the Atlanta screening of 90 Days. The viewing will take place at Midtown's Historic Plaza Theater and is part of the Cinema and Social Justice Sunday for the Bronze Lens Film Festival. Check out WCLK.com for more details and learn how you can win tickets to the screening.
Hi, this is Iyanla Van Zandt, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
My last guest is Asante Bradford, project manager for digital entertainment and emerging media for the Georgia Department of Economic Development. He stopped by the Upfront studios this week to discuss his role in recruiting digital entertainment companies. He also opened up about the state's growing entertainment revenue and the new incentives for musicians and post-film production.
Well, good morning, Asante, and welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I'm doing great, Ray. Thanks for having me. I'm real excited to be here.
Dude, I think I'm probably more excited than you because we've been trying to get you in here for a very long time.
Nah, I think I got you beat. Because I've been a big fan of yours. Oh my God, since I did my film festival back in the day.
And we're gonna come back to that.
No, past that now.
We won't talk about it.
We'll talk about other good stuff.
Good. So here's the thing. So last year, you know, we started the show. We're officially now in our second season. And one of the things that we wanted to do with Upfront was not only to feature individuals that were in front of the camera, you know, either singers or actors or film producers and things of that nature, but people also behind the scenes, those that you may not necessarily hear about, but these are rock stars and superstars in their own right because you guys really make all of this stuff happen. So
wow, rock stars?
Yeah, okay. yeah, you're a rock star.
So small circle of this room.
So that type of feedback, the positive feedback that we got from that, because last year we had Jen Ferris who came on to talk about what it means to be a scout location manager. We had Winsome Sinclair and Donald Jarman who are casting directors to talk about All Eyes on Me. Mm-hmm. We also had Eric J. Little, who is a actor turned director, to talk about what it really means to be an actor here in the city, or how do you put a show? How do you put a show together? How do you mount a show and produce it and promote it and things of that nature? So we got really positive feedback from that. So
thanks for putting me behind all of those great folks, man.
So we were thinking, you know what? We want to make sure that at least with either every other edition of the show, or at least two times out of the month, that we really have an industry professional to come on and talk about what's happening since Atlanta has been named the number one film and TV location in the world at this point, right?
Film.
Okay.
We'll get TV in a couple of years.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So let's start off by telling our audience what you actually do.
Sure. Well, hello, audience. Great to be here and really excited to be here and to talk about kind of what we do. You're right. I hardly get a chance to really share our story, which has been a great story here in Georgia. Again, I've worked for the state of Georgia in digital entertainment. I've been on 10 years now, and we are actually doing very well in that. We're number 7 in digital entertainment, which a lot of people don't know. And a lot of people don't know that digital entertainment actually makes more than the film industry and music industry combined. One video game release will make $1 billion in 3 days, literally, you know. So the state actually recognized that this was a growing space and that a lot of our young talent were leaving the state. And they created this position because, hey, if this person can bring in companies here into Georgia, then, wow, we'll be able to keep all this young talent that has been leaving. We do Hope Scholarship. We educate you. And then they were leaving, obviously, mostly Los Angeles. So that is my job. My job is actually recruiting companies, mostly production companies, to come to the state of Georgia. We have a great sales and marketing tool, which will be our tax credit. We were one of the first to actually incentivize digital entertainment. Obviously, you know what's been going on since film and television as well. So they were all underneath the same
umbrella.
Banner.
Okay.
And then our office is actually called Film, Music, and Digital Entertainment Office. I work with our Global Commerce Division, which is our largest state marketing agency that actually markets the state and everything from manufacturing, aerospace, and all those things. So we focus. We actually have a place for entertainment. So again, I'm kind of a hybrid between the both because everybody pretty much knows about that one entertainment tax credit, but there are so many other programs that the state offers that now that I'm able to go ahead and use to bring companies here.
So we hear that word incentives. So what exactly does that mean to our audience when they hear that, you know, that Georgia has great tax incentives for television and film and now digital? So what are those incentives?
Sure. So for the Georgia folks, mostly it's a good thing that you're seeing friends and family that are actually working in the industry. But for the Hollywood folks or people or independent production who are actually doing it, they actually get a savings on their production costs.
Okay.
So the state, we offer basically a 20% base tax credit and then an additional 10% for marketing. So if you ever see that little Georgia logo at the end of the shows or in the game.
Like the have it, have nots. Yeah.
Oh, right. Well, we're excited about that little Georgia logo. And actually, we're doing something pretty cool I can talk about on that as well.
Okay.
So basically, yeah. So again, using a general example, $1 million movie, $300,000 of that money will qualify for this credit. And usually, they're getting back about 90 cents on a dollar. There's a tax credit broker thriving business here where they come in and actually will take your credits and actually sell those credits. Now a lot of our Georgia larger companies are actually buying these credits, and then a lot of other folks are buying these credits. So that's, to talk about your audience, I mean, that might be something just for them to look at for tax savings. You know, it's basically you're saving 10% by doing this. So that's kind of what we do. Our job, again, using those credits to entice and bring companies here. And if you're talking about a Marvel movie, which I think just had one of the largest budgets ever, let's say you're doing a $1 billion budget, which I hear is close to, and you're getting back 30% of that, I think they'll be staying here for a while.
Yeah. Now, how do you determine if something is a good project or a bad project?
Good. We get measured by jobs and investment to the state. Okay. So for us, a movie is 300 jobs and whatever the budget is for the movie, that's what they're going to spend here. And we know how that money being spent is actually going into the local economy from, right, room nights and hotels, Uber, taxi, all of our different areas of folks and citizens who can actually benefit from that production being here.
And I'm glad you said that, because I know a lot of times individuals around the city are wondering, how does that benefit me? I'm not an actor, or, you know, I don't, you know, I'm not a producer. So how does that affect, I guess, the bottom line of those of us that live in Buckhead or live in the West End or live in Mechanicsville or Decatur? And I'm glad, you know, you saying basically it comes back to the hotels in the area, the Ubers and things of that nature. So,
oh yeah, all the ancillary, if I said that right, businesses around the entertainment industry, where if you're an actor, they want to stay in, you know, in Midtown and downtown. They're going to your restaurants. Hopefully they'll go into some of our listeners' restaurants, or they're going to their stores, or their hair and makeup and dog grooming services and all of these things. Because not just the actors, I mean, but you also have the crew.
The production folks
are here as well. And now they're, you know, they need these services as well. And then usually their families are here. So it's hard to specifically tell you kind of how a one person would benefit, because it's kind of depending on kind of what they're doing. But if they do have a business, go ahead and get listed in our Georgia Entertainment Source Book. Because that's the first thing that they're given when they come here. So, yeah, these are folks that are coming here just like any other, I don't call them a tourist, but for now. But hopefully we will continue building up what's here local. And I think that's something that I would love to see us really get behind and figure out how to get more of our Georgia citizens, obviously, involved a little bit more into the film industry here. Right. And I know that from our governor's office, that's one of his goals as well.
Now, I was going to ask you, how does someone, if they have an idea or a concept, how do they get that or relay that to you?
As far as doing a production, or as far as just having a business that they want to get into the industry?
Let's start, I guess, from the digital perspective.
Okay. If they have a company?
That or a game concept.
Oh, great. Good question. I would say reach out to me. It's always good to just talk to me and meet with me. I usually meet with anybody and everybody, and I will give you my opinion. And just, it depends on what certain stages you're at with the game industry, but you might need somebody to actually build it out for you. You might need somebody to actually write it and develop it for you. So just because of the position I'm in, I'm usually able to help most folks with those once they kind of tell me, hey, man, I want to do this kind of game and this, that. And I say, well, you need to go meet these guys, or you need to go to this meeting, or you need to do or check out this resource. So, yeah, there's a lot of different resources, and it's kind of depending.
Okay. Now, we mentioned at the top of the interview that this has basically grown the economy for the state of Georgia. What are some of the other accomplishments that this particular office has experienced over the last, let's say, over the last year?
Another good question. Why you getting these tough questions, man? Wow. Well, we are about to be chosen as the number one state again for economic development. Okay. Well, I shouldn't put it out there yet. We won it 4 years in a row. Nobody's ever won it fifth year in a row. So we literally heard today that we potentially are in good position because our numbers are doing great.
Okay.
So I'm just going to go on the whole, not just entertainment, but what's happening here in Georgia. I mean, look at the cranes is all I can tell you. Right? Look at the development. Look at some of the
cranes in the sky.
Hey, it's awesome.
And also
headquarter projects, Mercedes, Porsche, Kia. Those are just on the cars. We're seeing the same thing in different verticals, from manufacturing, aerospace, and obviously entertainment now. And again, we talk literally about the film and TV a lot. digital entertainment, again, we're probably be coming up on $1 billion as well, you know, which is great. We haven't talked about music, and I'm real excited what's going on there.
Well, let's talk about it.
Sure. Well, do you know that now hip hop is the number one genre for music? You know this, right?
I kind of figured that out, but yeah.
Well, I didn't know this.
Okay.
And guess where the hip hop capital of the world is?
Atlanta.
So literally right now, we are in a incredible space on the music side that we are just recognizing. Well, no, I'm not. Excuse me. We're more than know this.
Right.
But my point being on the state level, this is great. You know what? Let's go ahead and create some new tax credits for the music industry. So now we will be, I don't know exactly, I should say. I know there's less than two states that have it, but ours are definitely very unique in the music space. So I'm real excited because these guys all play together. The film, gaming, music guys, they hang together, they play together.
Right.
And I think once we have all of these kind of combinations of different tax credits for these things, also we've added post-production now, which I think is another incredible piece. So for editing and special effects, which are now 60% or 70% of the movies are now done in post-production. So again, these are different tax credits that we are now adding to our midst, that it will just make us, I really do think that we have a great chance of being one of the top economies for entertainment, period. And we already, like you mentioned, on the film side, number one, which nobody really saw that coming.
Mm-hmm.
But also what we're seeing from all of that is our tourism. So now our film tourism is a $1 million industry. I'm excited about what's going on in the gaming tourism now. We've had, I don't know if you heard of esports, but now we're becoming a big hub for that. And a lot of these different conferences and different, we actually had a couple of teams that are looking at Atlanta now to set up here, which are some of the top teams in gaming.
Wow.
So, and then music, obviously going back to that, to the, not just hip hop, but actually in the whole state of Georgia, we're very diverse in music scene. I mean, so our goal is to kind of compete with our neighbors. And I think they're a little bit ahead of us, Nashville, as far as total music spin. But we're right behind them. And now with this new tax credit, we're hoping to leapfrog them just like we did California and New York in the on the film side. And then TV side, I just think it's a matter of time. The other thing, the great thing that's been happening is all these film studios that are popping up mm-hmm. now. And, oh, man, I was at Pinewood yesterday. And unbelievable, 18 sound. I mean, it literally, I was like, wow, this is Hollywood here. I mean, and the cool thing is when these new studios are state of the art. So we're talking about these are like, so of course Marvel's going to want to be
right.
in one of these type of newer kind of sound
facilities,
stages as
yeah.
opposed to
yeah.
Hollywood, which are the 1920s and all them old things and rats running on it. Just saying that. But anyway, so to answer your question, I think that music just plays a big part in the whole entertainment side. And again, you look at on the film scoring, and then on the game scoring are big. You know, they already have been incentivized. And now because of our new post-production credit, a lot of our post-production companies can now get the credit by themselves, where before they were just, their expenses were included into our regular tax credit. So the big company that hires them would get the credit. Now these post-production companies, so you go shoot in Timbuktu, you can bring your production here, your post-production here now, and they actually can be able to get the credit, which is awesome. So that's going to obviously go back to your other question,
mm-hmm.
create jobs. And that's what we're all about. We're all about jobs.
Well, Asante, thank you so much for stopping by the Upfront Studios. Thank you for that wealth of knowledge because, again, one of the things that we want to do with this show is not only entertain you, but also educate you on what's happening in and around Atlanta and around the state of Georgia. And just, in hearing conversations about Hollywood is here, but what does that mean to, everyone? I'm glad that you were able to sort of break down how that works, that money works its way through the state as well as through the city of Atlanta.
Well, thank you, Ray. And
we
I
thank
would
you
just say
that.
Georgia.org is our website, and just go under the film and you can see a lot of information a lot of questions can answer. And then if needed, a lot of our numbers are on there. You can always just reach out to us too.
All right. That was Asante Bradford, Project Manager for Digital Entertainment and Emerging Media for the Georgia Department of Economic Development.
Thank you so much for listening to today's show. I'd really like to thank all of my special guests, Marlon Wayans, Asante Bradford, and the cast of When Love Kills, Lil Mama, Lance Gross, Tammy Roman, and Tasha Smith. I would also like to thank my engineer, Mark Angel.
and you. Please join us next Saturday, August 19th at 9 a.m. for another exciting edition of Upfront Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Support for Upfront Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry comes from the Bronze Lens Film Festival, online at bronzelens.com.